All right, take your Bibles tonight, please, and go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5, for the message tonight. First Peter chapter 5, and I want to read some familiar verses, verses that I think I've preached from these verses before. I can't remember. I'm sure I have somewhere along the way. But I want to begin reading in verse 7, and we'll read down through verse 11. So starting at verse 7 and reading through verse 11, verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." All right, let's go back, please, to verse 7. And here the apostle says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I want to use that little phrase tonight, and I want to speak to you on what to do with your cares. What to do with your cares. Now, I know that nobody in this room has any cares. I understand that. But I do think that this can be an encouragement to your heart. Now, I'm going to put a little twist on it, so I'll tell you when we get there. But give me your attention tonight, and we'll trust the Lord to bless His word to your hearts. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when the cares of life are upon us, that we can cast our care upon you. We're just so thankful that you care about us, so much so that you've told us to bring our cares to you. And Father, I pray tonight that you will bless the Word of God. May it make a difference in our hearts tonight. And Lord, every time we gather, there is something from the Word that can lodge in our hearts. And I pray that something tonight will stick in somebody's heart and will help them through a difficult time, will help them through a trial, through a problem. And Lord, help us tonight just to take the apostles' advice here and heed it with diligence, that Lord, we will cast our care upon you. Help us not to take our cares and hold them and coddle them, but Lord, help us to bring them to you and to just leave them at your feet. Father, bless tonight. Help me as I speak, and bless the folks as they listen. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Now, when Peter wrote this epistle, he did so to encourage the believers who were facing tremendous persecution because of their faith in Christ. There were multitudes of people. Now, if you will go back to the beginning, chapter 1, and look at verse 1, you will see that this letter was sent to the regions of Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and into Asia and Bithynia. This letter was not necessarily directed to the Jews, although when it got in the New Testament, the Jews could read it. But it was originally sent to believers that were scattered to the north of Israel throughout these regions, which are Turkey and the region where they're playing, where they're having the Olympics right now. All that region is where this letter was sent. Now you say, well, how do all those people get saved? Well, the Apostle Paul went over there. Remember the Macedonian call? Well, he answered that call. And when he did, he went through these regions planting churches and winning folks to Christ. And so now here's the Apostle Peter, and he is writing an epistle to these people that were going through a tremendous amount of persecution. Now, you got to realize that there were multitudes of people who made their living and provided for their families through making items, manufacturing materials that went into items, selling items, and trading items that were connected with the pagan idolatry that had engulfed this entire region. Now, once the gospel came to these people and they got saved, their connection to the idolatry and the idolatry business stopped. And when it did, when that happened, then the whole network was impacted. It did not take folks long to figure out that it was these Christians that were the reason for so many business leaders to see a sudden drop in their incomes. And the end result was that Christians were never safe. They were not safe at all. Most believers lived life in constant anxiety, wondering when someone would barge into their house in the middle of the night. And it was to those folks that Peter wrote this epistle. Now, thank the Lord, we don't have to deal with these things today in America. But folks, a lot of people do have to deal with this around the world today. But now, the way our government is headed, if there is not a real fast turnaround, Christians in America may once again have to face such threats. But even though we are not facing outward persecution today, does not mean that we do not have our cares. All of us have cares. We all face things that haunt our hearts and can cause us undue anxiety and create in us an unsettled heart. So Peter's call to those early believers is something that I think can benefit us in 2014. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now the question then is this, and I think it should be a question for all of us. How does a man cast his care on the Lord? But wait a minute. In this day in which we live, how can a man cast his care on anybody? There's the little twist. Think about that for a moment. We, you know, it would be the easy thing for me to stand up here and say, cast your care upon the Lord, folks. That'd be the easy thing for me to say. But let me get you to think a little deeper on it. Let me ask you this question. in this day in which we live, how can you cast your care on anybody? That, you see, that puts a little spin on it. That makes you think a little bit more. I want us to think along these lines tonight. In this uncertain age in which we live, how does an individual cast his or her care upon anyone? Let me remind you, folks, the best of men are only sinners at best. Now, how can we cast our care on anyone? If we can figure out how to cast our care on anyone, it ought to be a little easier for us to cast our care upon the Lord. Let me give you three or four things tonight. Number one, we cast our care on another when we confidently rely upon them. Confidently rely upon them. There are so many ways I could illustrate this point, but I want to illustrate this with something that anybody who has ever flown on an airplane can understand. When you get on an airplane, you are surrendering your safety and your well-being into the hands of the pilot of that aircraft. You are relying solely upon that pilot. I was on a flight a few years back from Houston to Chicago, and then from Chicago home, and the weather was horrible all over the East Coast. Go figure. It was just terrible. Storms, and we didn't get out of Chicago anytime until we were just in the clouds, and we stayed in the clouds. And that plane was bouncing and rocking back and forth, and folks were getting nervous. And we hit a cruising altitude, and then the plane, the captain came on, and he said, "Folks, I know it's a little bumpy," and he said, "I'm trying to get permission for us to get out of this," and he said, "Please realize that I'm on this plane too. I'm on this plane too." And he said, "I will make sure that I treat your lives like they were my life." And he said, "Oh, here we go." And about that time, the plane banked left, which would have been north. And in a few minutes, we went out of the clouds and into the clear blue sky. And I looked out the window and I saw Toledo, Ohio, and Lake Erie. And he then came back over the air and he said, "We're going to do some circles around Lake Erie for a little while to let this front work its way through Baltimore. And when it's safe, I'll take you on for the rest of the flight." And you could just hear the confidence in his voice. And there was a collective sigh of relief on the airplane. So trusting the captain in the storm, you find that you have to rely completely upon him. You see, folks, when you're sitting back in that airplane, your opinion doesn't count. They're not going to come and ask you what you think. They're not going to come back and get your suggestions or take your recommendations. No, the truth is the whole plane, the stewardesses, the pilot, the co-pilot, all of the passengers, everybody has to just sit there and rely upon the pilot. And I'm saying that we cast our care on another when we confidently rely upon him. And whenever I'm on a plane and experiencing turbulence, you know what I do? I watch the flight attendants. If the flight attendants get nervous, That's when I get nervous. And I've seen that a couple of times. Whenever anyone trusts God, it starts with them having confidence in God. Confidence. Isaiah said, as we learned this morning, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And then the prophet adds, because he trusteth in thee. You see, trust is the great antidote to care, to worry, to anxiety, and to fear. It is by simple, quiet, unswerving, unfailing confidence that we cast our care on anybody. And that is exactly how we cast all our cares on the Lord. When the storms and the turbulence of life comes blowing against us, just rely upon the captain of your salvation, folks. He has been through the storm, and he made it through the storm. So he certainly knows the way to guide us through. But you know, it's only natural to get anxious when the storm comes upon us. One of my preacher friends told me about a flight he was on about a year and a half, 2 years ago now. And he said that folks were crying in fear on the airplane. He said folks were literally praying out loud, asking God for his mercy. And he said others were screaming and had their faces buried behind the seat in front of them and were literally screaming for fear. For you see, the truth is, it's only natural for us to get anxious when some tragedy comes upon us. But if we will just take a minute and look to the Lord, we'll know everything's going to be all right. You just got to trust in the Lord. We had some folks in our church out in Illinois who took a Caribbean cruise, and they were just amazed at how cheap the cruise was. Well, the only problem was it was cheap because they went during hurricane season. And when they got home, I said, how was the cruise? And they said, never again. And I said, why? What happened? And they proceeded to tell me how that the whole trip, all they did was dodge hurricanes and dangerous seas. And he said, Pastor, my wife was so frantic. And he said, you're out on that ship. You can't get off. And he said, my wife was so frantic, and I just was trying my best to find a way to calm her down. And he said, I passed the bridge, and I looked over and saw the captain of the ship, and he was cutting up and joking with some other folks that were on the bridge with him. And he said, it hit me, and I ran to the room, got my wife, brought her up, and just had her stand there and watch the captain. And when she saw that the captain was fine, oh, it was rough seas. And yeah, they were running from a hurricane, but he had been there before. He knew how to do it, and he was as confident as anything. And he said, all I had to do was let her see the captain smiling and joking with the folks on deck, and all of a sudden, she calmed right down. And I'm saying to you, Christian, when the storms of life hit you or they hit your family, get in your Bible and simply see the Lord and rely upon His steady hand to guide you safely through. He's been there, and He knows the way. Second thing, we cast our care on anyone when we go to Him and talk things through. Now just think about that. That's so true, is it not? You see, that's one of the great benefits of friendship that I mentioned to you this morning in the message. One of the main duties of friendship is to encourage a friend in need. As I was preparing for this message, I ran across a quote, and the fellow that quoted the preacher that said this did not know who said it, so he just said a friend of his, and I'm going to take for granted it was a friend of his, but this preacher of the past said this, and it's a little heavy, but listen to it. He said, "The man who has no friends is a cannibal of his own heart." And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that. And he went on to explain, and he said, "A man who has no friends is a cannibal of his own heart, in that he eats his own heart out because he has no one with whom to share his heart." He is a cannibal of his own heart. And the point that he was making is that everybody needs a friend to talk to. I don't know how many times through the years folks have stopped by the office, they've come to made an appointment or stopped by, or they stopped me in the hall and they said, "Pastor, can we talk for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And they've said, "I just need some advice." And so they'll sit down, and I cannot tell you how many instances they have went away without getting any advice. I mean, I don't know how many times. And yet, when they left, they thanked me profusely and told me how much I helped them. And when they walk away, I said, "I didn't do anything." And I didn't say anything. I just sat there and listened. You see, what really helped them wasn't my advice. What helped them was simply the fact that they had someone there who listened and talked the matter over with them, someone who cares about them and is genuinely their friend. And folks, what is true on earth is certainly true in heaven. If you know Christ as your Savior, without a doubt, your truest friend is in heaven. And when we go to Him and tell Him our cares and open up our hearts to Him in prayer, how wonderfully we discover that we have really cast our care upon Him. Let me have you turn back to hold your place here. But go back to Philippians chapter 4 again. Philippians chapter 4. I preached to you from verse 19 this morning, but look if you, at the fourth chapter, and I want you to see what he says in verse 6. "Be careful for nothing." Now, we don't use the word careful in that way today. We say, "Be careful," and what we mean is, don't hurt yourself. All right? That's how we use it. Don't trip. Don't fall. Be careful on the ice. Don't go out there and break your neck on the ice. All right? That's how we use the word. Think, the Bible uses a word, cares. All right? Remember when the disciples were on the boat and the storm came up and Jesus was asleep and they rowed, but they did not think they were going to make it. They shook the Lord Jesus. And what did they say to him? "Carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish?" Hey, folks, Peter was there when that happened. If anybody understood how to cast your care on the Lord Jesus, Peter understood it. He was there the night. It may have even been Peter who said to the Lord, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And so here is Paul now, be careful for nothing. You and I would understand careful as anxious, stressed, fearful, burdened. Those are cares that we carry ourselves. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice what Paul says here. Be careful for nothing, but by everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Peter then turns around and says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And Paul said, bring your cares to the Lord. That's what he's saying. Bring your cares. Now, the question that naturally we would ask is, all right, well, if I do that, what happens? Are my requests answered? Well, you'll notice, folks, that the wise Apostle Paul doesn't say anything in Philippians 4 about answers. But what he does say is in verse 7. He says, when you bring your prayers in verse 6, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Doesn't say anything about answering the prayer. But what he does promise is that the Lord is going to help you. It was true in Paul's day, and that is always true. He says that when you and I come and talk with the Lord, that the peace of God that goes beyond understanding will keep our hearts and minds. We are all going to have our cares as we go through life. But the blessing of being a Christian is that we can cast our cares upon the Lord. We can pray. We can talk with Him about our cares. And the things that burden our hearts are replaced by a peace that is graciously given to us from above. Folks, you're going to have your cares in life. I've told this before, but when my mother passed away, Karen and I were 2 weeks out from taking the pastorate of our first church. 2 weeks out. And my mother passed away. 47 years old. And she died of a massive heart attack, boom, gone. And I got angry. I got bitter. I got so angry with God. 2 weeks after we buried my mother, I was to stand for the first time as the pastor. 22 years of age. And I said, I can't do this. I said, Lord, I've got to go in there and tell everybody you're a good God. You took my mother. And I was so bitter. I was so angry. And I took my New Testament and I went out the road where there was a lake out in no man's land. And I knew where it was. We used to play there when I was a kid. And I drove out to that lake and went as far as I could and got out of the car and walked down to the lake. And there was a big rock that sat on the lower end of that lake. Wasn't a big lake, not much bigger than this auditorium. But there was a big rock there. And I had thrown rocks in that lake from that rock many, many times as a kid. Fished off of that rock many, many times as a kid. And I sat down on that rock about 10 o'clock in the morning. Beautiful, beautiful April day. Sun shining, birds singing, trees coming to life. And I sat on that rock and I read Philippians 4 until I had it memorized. And I argued with God. And I said, God, it's just not fair. I don't understand this. And I don't like it. And I'm not sure I can go ahead and do now what you've called me to do. I am so mad at you. But I kept reading it. And I kept reading it. And I sat there all morning and I talked with God and I argued with God and I read Philippians and I argued a little bit more and I wept and I cried and I begged and I pleaded. And sometime around 3 in the afternoon, I'm not sure exactly what time it was, but it was around 3, all of a sudden, I didn't hear anything, I didn't see anything, but all of a sudden, I had a peace come over my soul. And it took me years to figure out what had happened. And what happened was exactly what Paul describes right here. What happened was God gave a peace that passes understanding. Now I know that many of you have had tragedies. And you've had trials. And I know that many of you have gotten angry at God just like I did. But folks, let me tell you, God knows what He's doing. You and I may not understand it, but that does not mean that He doesn't know what He's doing. And what you and I need to do is sit down and just talk with the Lord. My point is, we cast our care on anyone when we go to Him and talk things through. And that's exactly what I did on that afternoon. You know, sometimes it's just good to get alone with God and cast your care upon Him because He certainly cares for you. Number 3, we cast our care on anybody when we do what we're supposed to do. I want you to simply think about someone who works for a business. I want you to think for somebody that works for let's say the United States Post Office. Your mailman. Your mailman has a family, probably. He has a mortgage. He has a car payment. He has a wife and kids, or she has a husband and kids, and they depend upon that salary. Now think of this. As long as he does his job, he doesn't have to worry about those things. As long as he does his job, he's going to get his check and he's going to be able to feed his kids. He's going to be able to pay his mortgage. He's going to be able to pay his car payment. He has cast his care upon the United States Post Office. Now, if he loads up his truck and pulls out and drives down to a dumpster, throws it all the mail in the dumpster, and then takes the truck back, gets in his car, and drives to the golf course, well, then he's got a problem. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's got a real issue. He has responsibilities he has to meet. He has a responsibility to a job description, but as long as he does what he's supposed to do and does it faithfully, he has cast his care upon his employer. Folks, is this not exactly what the Lord Jesus meant in Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. If we had just put the Lord first, if we would just be loyal to the Lord daily, live for the happy service of the kingdom every day, and if we will simply put the Lord first and live for him, do you think for a minute that God would do anything less than the United States Post Office would do? And here's the point. If we're living for ourselves, we have no warrant to cast our care on God. But if we are putting the Lord first, serving him and not ourselves, then we can put every care upon him. And folks, we are fully justified in doing that. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was at the well with the Samaritan woman? And the disciples went to get, the Bible says, meat. The disciples went to get meat, M-E-A-T, meat. And when they came back from McDavid's with Happy Meals for everybody, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, oh, I don't need to eat. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And you know, that made me think, what is your meat in life? What is your meat? And if your meat is to serve the Lord and do the Lord's will, hey, you can joyfully cast every care on the Lord because he cares for you. And then lastly, when we cast our cares on him, what kind of life does God expect of us? Well, go back to 1 Peter. What kind of life does God expect of us? And right here is where we see Peter's display of heavenly wisdom inspired by the Holy Spirit. What kind of life does God expect of us? When we cast our care on him, what does God expect of us? Well, look at verse 8. Be sober. Be sober. Vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. You know, Christian, it's a dangerous thing to live life with a load of cares. Living life with anxieties, with worry and cares opens you up to a lot of temptations. Be sober, he said. Be vigilant. Don't carry your cares around. That will cause you to lower your guard. And with your guard lowered, your adversary, look at the rest of the verse. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, the devil's watching you. Don't carry your own cares. Cast your care upon the Lord. Why? He cares for you. Just cast your cares upon the Lord. And then be sober. Be vigilant. That's what God expects of us. If you're carrying around your own cares, it can make a husband grouchy, hateful, spiteful, selfish. It can make a wife overly worrisome, nagging. Got quiet right there, didn't it? I mean, when you're carrying around the burden, when you're carrying around the cares of life, and they're burdening you down, man, you're just opening yourself up for the devil to have a heyday with you. Do you see that? So the wise advice from the apostle is to be sober and to be vigilant. But listen, let me also say that to be free from cares can be just as dangerous as being burdened by them. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, I've known folks suddenly freed from care by some inheritance, and that freedom becomes their ruin. I've seen that happen. And folks, God does not make His children carefree so they can become careless. Surely 1,000 cares would be better than being careless. The plea is to be sober and vigilant, whether with cares or without them. Do you see the point? And if the Lord makes us carefree, well then, praise His name for that. Thank Him for that. But let us help our brother to the glory of God, if that's the case. No doubt life is going to bring cares. I mean, there's not a one of us that's going to get through life without cares. And you know, they talk about the golden years. I don't see that coming at all. Golden years, my foot. What's golden about it? I've got a doctor's appointment coming up at the end of the month, and I got to get where you get permission to go to another doctor. Referrals. I got to get referrals to the dermatologist. I've got to get referrals to that bunch down at Hopkins that treats me. Golden. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you go, "When did that get there?" It's a new bump. It's a new knot. I mean, you know. Where did that come from? And every day of our lives, folks, is not going to get any easier. And what we have got to do is realize, hey, now I've got to cast my care upon the Lord. Now, today, start today, casting your care upon the Lord. And if we will learn that, it will save us a multitude of trial down the road. Oh, thank God for this wise advice. Verse 11 said, "To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Casting your care upon Him. And see, folks, you can cast your care on others. You can do it. You get in an airplane, you prove that. You sit down with a friend, you prove that. You can cast your care on others. Now, if you can cast your care on others, can you not cast your care on the Lord? And the answer is yes, you can. Let's cast our care upon Him.